The one thing before we get started for the board members, I put out a piece of paper called the CCTV Internal Review Task Force for the Credit Survey. And I'd like everyone to fill that out and give it to me or another member of the Riverside Committee. Now, the committees will still be acting in a regular capacity, but we know that there's going to be a little bit more time involved, and so we've got to maybe have some more people working on the question. So you may be working on two different groups based on your committee assignment and what you want to do as shown by this Credit Survey. Have you had a chance to look at the minutes? You should have. I will entertain a motion to accept them.
Make a motion to accept the minutes.
If it's moved and seconded that we accept the minutes, any discussion, any changes or corrections? Not? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is approval of the agenda. A motion to approve it. Second?
A second.
And moved and seconded that we approve the agenda. Any discussion on it? I've already violated it, okay. And that's my Credit Survey. Hope no one review checks. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Now's the time for questions and comments for staff and board. And we have allocated a specific amount of time. We'd like to have you, if you have questions, you can ask them now, or you can wait till the public hearing as we're discussing the budget. Seeing no one jumping to their feet, just let you know that the next board meeting will be January 28th at the regular time, 5:45 here. I hope you've had a wonderful Christmas and a great new year by that time. And we're all sobered up. We do have a new member of the board. Eric is here, and we need to swear him in. Swear him in, not swear at him, okay? I'm just going to do that.
So Eric, will have you stand up, raise your right hand, repeat after me. Aye, and state your name.
Aye, Eric Ashcroft.
Having been appointed to the office of board member.
Having been appointed to the office of board member.
To the Board of Trustees of the for the Cache Valley Transit District.
To the Board of Trustees for the Cache Valley Transit District.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this state.
And the Constitution of this state.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And that I will discharge the office of my duties with fidelity.
Good enough.
Thanks for the chance, Eric. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, you're not standing any longer. Why don't you tell us the board a little about yourself?
Hey, I'd like to say my name is Eric Ashcroft. And I'm pretty much a lifelong resident of Logan, Utah. I graduated from Logan High School and Utah State University. And I used to drive bus for about 4 years, so I have a little experience with CBTV. Just happy to be on the board and share some ideas and things and maybe some other knowledge.
You've got 2 degrees. Tell us what they're in.
The first one was in aerospace technology. I graduated in the flight program at Utah State. And then the other one was liberal arts and science. That was just my default. There was a lot of areas that I took classes in. I liked going to school and liked learning about other things, so I kept taking other classes in education, and that just filled in with all the other credits I had.
Well, welcome. And like we told you, if you have any questions at all, staff or the Oversight Committee are at your disposal.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. We'll now. We want to have a presentation of the budget, or we have a discussion.
Okay.
So why don't you go ahead and introduce that budget.
We're going to let Curtis Roberts, the administration director, go through the budget.
So last meeting we went through this in great detail. There was one small change between what we presented last month and this month, and the fact that we started getting bids for the canopy project that we talked about. And based off the approval of this budget, we'll be ready to award. But the bid came in higher than what the engineer had estimated about a year ago, but lower than other information that we had as to what the project should cost. So the bid was deemed reasonable and fair according to all of our procedures, but we needed to allocate about $180,000 in total. We had previously talked, this budget had $160,000. So we bump up that budget for capital outlay by $20,000. $16,000 more will come from grant revenue, and we do have the grant money available. And then our sales tax projection, we tweaked it just slightly by $4,000. That'll provide the match for those funds. So with that, our proposed total operating revenues will come in about $5.6 million. Our proposed operating expenses come in about $5.5 million, leaving a difference of about $57,000 revenues over expenses for operating. That all already includes all the changes that we discussed last meeting for the insurance changes. It includes the increase for all of the positions that were identified in the last meeting needing to be adjusted into the market range. It proposes receiving almost $1.9 million in capital grant revenue. And all of those grants have been secured, so the funding is there. And then the capital expenses, $2.4 million. And you can see a breakdown of the capital expenses on page 3. Well, once again, there's 5 40-foot buses. These would replace the 5 that are expiring. And they're way beyond their life. $27,000 for a support vehicle to replace one that's currently in need of repairs, exceeding the value of the vehicle. The canopy project, you can see there, it's budgeted up to $180,000. We did budget for a new copier for $13,000. The network video recorder for $13,000 and facility improvements of $90,000, most of which will be used to complete the building out at the transit center. That'll then serve as a location where we can evaluate ADA about capabilities of people and take their applications. It provides a bigger office and all for taking people in. I'm actually being able to meet with them in confidentiality, and then it also can provide some waiting area for passengers as they're waiting for Salt Lake Express or other things. So in a nutshell, that's the budget. Now you'll notice that we do have a shortfall after doing all of that. It's to be funded with $30,000 of restricted money. That comes from the sale of the paratransit vehicles that we've had during this year, and also money that we've saved up over the years for almost $450,000. So there's money available to fund this whole budget.
Okay. We're ready to open the public hearing. We're going to have anyone who's here from the public, and if any people that have the Herald Journal here, we'll try to not swear or anything, so thank you very much. But we'd like to limit the talk, questions or comments for 3 minutes per person. And Tom Hogan has gratefully said that he can count to 3.
Yes.
And so he will do that. So we're open for any public comments. I think, John, you're eager to stand. You want to stand right where you are. We sure appreciate it.
We do need to have them close enough for the microphone.
State their name.
Okay. The microphone can pick them up okay from there, can't
it? Are you getting it okay?
As far as I can tell, yes.
As long as they just speak
your name and anything else you want to say.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure you can hear me. John Drew, Providence City Council. Mayor asked me to attend this meeting. I don't have, Curtis, I don't have the detail of the budget, so I'm going to have to ask you some questions that are probably obvious to the board members here. Does this budget include non-cash depreciation?
No, there's no.
So this is a cash basis only budget here?
That's what's required to be adopted under government accounting principles, accounting standards.
So when you say money set aside, I'm looking at depreciation as a way of setting aside money as capital ages. And depreciation is an expense, it's a non-cash expense, but it's a way of setting aside funds or funding for that equipment to be replaced.
And if we were in an enterprise function, that would absolutely apply for your design to charge user fees equal to recovering all the costs of the services you're providing.
Okay.
This is a governmental fund.
So this isn't operated like an enterprise fund?
This does not run like that. This runs as a governmental fund.
Okay.
And so it's presented on the modified accrual basis of accounting.
Okay, what kind of governmental fund accounting is?
It's a general fund.
Just a general fund?
That's all we have established now.
Thank you, John. Anyone else have any questions or comments? Why don't you go ahead? We've got enough time.
Just looking at the numbers there, just it's pretty straightforward because there's not a lot of detail there, but it looks like there's some, on the revenue end, there's a big increase in sales tax revenue, and there's also an increase in salaries and benefits to the employees. That seems to be where the funding for the increases come from, salaries and wages. So when you're projecting sales tax revenue, how do you come up with that number? Do you get that from the state, or how is that projected? Because if you miss that number, that sales tax collection number, you got almost a $300,000 problem. I mean, compared to the 2014.
Yeah, and on page 2 of the packet that's handed out.
I just got one page. I just got that. Okay.
You can see our budget last year was $3.4 million. We did a fairly conservative estimate based off of where we were at last year. Our sales tax is actually projected to come in about $3.5 million, a little bit over $3.5 if Christmas sales hold up and everything. So really, our projected increase is only $100,000+, which equates to about 2% over where we project finishing this year. So we do an extensive evaluation when we're analyzing sales tax, and we are constantly evaluating where are we at relative to our budget. And if there is a point in time when there is a decline, and we've talked about this with the board extensively, if sales tax ever starts showing a decline, we'll immediately make the board aware, and then we start making plans for what expenditures can be delayed. What do we need to change in order to adapt to make sure that we live within the revenue projection?
So you have a contingency plan, you know, where you can cut expenses or cut back.
We're constantly evaluating that. There's certain plans that are in place that we hope we never have to use, and some are less extreme than others. We have the same plan in place in case federal funding actually dries up, or they choose to shut down the federal government for longer than 30 weeks.
Thanks, John. Are there any other questions or comments from the public? Seeing none, I'll close this, the public hearing portion of the meeting, and I will accept a motion to accept the budget. Do we have a discussion after that?
I will move that we accept the resolution 14-2.
Second.
Okay, so moving and second that we approve the budget. Is there any discussion, any questions or comments from the board?
So I've probably got a couple questions as far as concerning the budget. And what happens if sales tax exceeds and you have an excess of what you're projecting? Where does that money go? What do you do with that?
The same plan that we've affected in this year and previous years, basically we allow that money to fall through to what we call the bottom line. where we basically show that we have income in excess of revenues. And then we use that, this is the buildup that we talked about, where we can save it up for one-time projects in the future, because that's just a one-time growth, and then we analyze what the next year's revenues are to determine what we have available for the needs of the district at that point. So that's what creates our reserve for the capital expenditures.
Just one other comment I'd like to make, that you know, I requested to see kind of the wage study that was done, and apparently I was told that's not completed yet, won't be completed until the third or fourth week of December, but just kind of looking at this, that I...
Which wage study are you talking about?
The one that's in the packet, the one that's in the board packet that we provided last time. The final report's not done. As I explained to Eric, the final report's not done, but the information that we provided the board is completed, and that's what we provided.
So I kind of wanted to see the wage study, because there's some, kind of some things on here that makes me kind of raise my eyebrows a little bit. One, when we're looking at the mechanic's wage, and his wage is going above the proposed maximum, and in the bylaws according to management, they try to pay management at the midpoint. So I was
wondering.
Right. But I think you would kind of want to like consistency a little bit throughout it. But anyway, it's just rare that you would pay over maximum. And then another thing I noticed that they've got to pay the MIS manager, giving him a $10,000 increase this year. And I just looked at the wage, and like I said, it's hard for me to make comparisons, but I took some, like at USU, just looked at some MIS managers there. And it's hard to make a comparison, because usually when you have an MIS manager, he's over a big department. So one of the MIS managers I looked at, I mean, his department, he's got like 300 computers, not to mention all the software, 25 servers, you know, considerably larger than what is here. This guy he's been there 35 years, and he's never ever had a $10,000 increase. And his wage right now is $65,000 after being there 35 years. So I see that, and I'm thinking, are we in line with what's really being paid in this valley, you know? So, and without being able to look at the full details and talk to those who conducted the survey and see where they compare to and what they did, you know, they basing it out of Salt Lake wages or what. So that, in other words, it just raises some concern, but I haven't had
to address
complete
it.
Time to
sure.
study it.
Sure, I'll be happy to address that. So let's talk about the issues one at a time. So first we have the mechanics wages. Again, that's what we do a market survey for. So in the past, we look at things that are indicators, and then we go to actually validating that with the market survey. In the past, that's been the hardest position we've had to fill. We had a hard time recruiting and retaining mechanics, but we found through the market survey that if we have someone that's out of the market, then we deal with that with either a wage freeze or something of that nature. That's what we deal with, and we're not proposing that someone's out of the market to adjust their wage. With the regards to the MIS manager, again, what we're doing is a market survey, and then we're looking at the market and try to get them in the market because they were not in the market. And we do look at things regionally. As we explained to the board when we did the wage survey, and we explained this at the last meeting, as you were there, Eric, not as a board member, but we look at these positions by job duty. And so we look specifically at job duty, and then we look at where would we recruit someone for that position. And we did look at the Ogden region. I mean, because we would be recruiting an MIS manager, we would look at the Ogden region. But then we look at similar job duties within organizations in the Valley. And so I don't know the details of the person that you're referencing at USU. I have no way to understand that.
But this would be on the study to show the certain wage comparisons where you did it with and who. It would be on that wage study.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think we provided that, but you know, the school district. And it depends on the job position. I mean, every position we're looking at different things, but we're looking at other agencies like Pocatello Regional Transit, Park City Transit, and those things. So we're looking in the industry and within the region that we need to look at to cover that particular position. So
I raise the same kind of concern, but the survey data is taken from comparable entities in comparable region, so it's not that, it isn't that far out of line.
You know, and then I just, I looked at the driver's wages, you know, and I see even just locally here, Cache County starts their drivers out at $14 an hour.
And again, we can...
Here, we're starting at $11, which seems, compared to Valley, which is way, way, not even comparison. I mean, I would want to compare them with Park City because the capital, the income there is not comparable to Logan, you know.
Well, so again, if again, we're looking at, and this is a part of the reason why I hired the consultants to, that that's what they do, but when we're looking at these things, we're trying to match up job duties, and not always do job duties match up exactly accurate. School bus drivers don't match up exactly accurate to transit drivers. Park City Transit, even though you look at the city itself, all of their employees are living outside the city and coming in, and so they're looking at all the different things that they take into account and at the wage that they pay in Park City. So we're looking at that job duty across the industry, across the region, and that's what we have to use for the market survey.
Yeah, and like I say, once I see that wage survey that you conducted, then I can review it more thoroughly.
Sure, and again,
see,
as I told you.
It puts me at a disadvantage because without being able to see it and compare it, it's hard to, I mean, that would be nice something for everybody to have beforehand so they can compare it.
I understand that. I mean, we are up against getting it completed and we'll definitely provide it. As I told you, it should be here shortly. I mean, we're just going to...
That's future, that's something that would be done well ahead of time so we can...
And as I told the board, I'd be happy to address that. One of the things that we want to do is improve the budgeting process all the way along. And so one of the things we've talked with the board about is that next year we would like to sit down earlier in the process and work on setting budgetary goals, just as we did in this budget. Do work on the board with the board on that and coming back with more information in a more timely manner. We recognize that that's something we can do better. I think it's a valid point, Eric.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from any of the board?
I just have two. So I'm curious when that report is released and we can request it from.
We'll send it out to you. We'll send it out. That's definitely something we would send out.
And then just like, thank you all for all my multiple questions. I fired through the emails over the last few months. Thanks for working on those.
Yeah, and again, we appreciated Sean's questions. They were good questions.
Just on the line of Sean's questions, you know, is there something that, I know, like, if you go to Logan City, you can look up what their benefits are, everything that way. Utah State, I know CBT doesn't have anything like that on that website.
Where do we look those up for Logan City and Utah State?
For Logan City, you can go to the HR department, you can go to benefits, and it lists what the employee benefits are, what they pay. On Utah State's website, they have it published. You can go on there. Plus, they have this handout that shows exactly what the benefits are for all the employees. And you guys that work at USU have all seen this. And it tells you what they pay. Is there something CBTD?
We can look at putting something like that together.
That would be really helpful.
Yeah, that's not a problem at all.
And what is your ultimate objective?
I'd just like to see that, you know, are we aligned with everybody else? Or we?
Do you not believe that to be reviewed?
I don't know.
I mean, again, so I have no problem. We can look at doing something like that if that's what the board would like us to do. I mean, the percentages, though, that we did do that. CBTD is at 40%. Utah State's at 43%.
Right.
You know, Cache County's at 48%. I mean, so the percentage of benefits to salary, we're well within line of other entities in the Valley that are government entities, you know, and so we were looking at that using transparency as a tool. But we have no problem looking at putting something together if the board would like us to do that. That's not a problem at all.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? I guess we're ready to vote. All in favor of accepting this budget, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Sounds like we got a budget.
Any Thank you.
Oh, are there any extensions? Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes our agenda. Are there any other things you'd like to have brought up? Any questions from the board?
So just to clarify, I just want to make sure Did we have a motion to pass the resolution 14? Okay, okay, great.
It was Glenn and seconded by Roger.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, seeing no other business, then we are adjourned. Now, before you leave though, I'd like to have just give you an idea of what's going on.